Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 765. What do you got on the corkboard, Katie?
First, I want to plug Bring Back Mystery Science Theater 3000, which Jonah is the host of now.
And bring back MST3K.com.
Yep, it's got a few more days to go. Yep, I think it has like 10 more days to go, so definitely go and donate to that if you can. And also, SF Sketchfest just announced their lineup, and we're not on it.
No, we couldn't be on it this year because I'm shooting, and a lot of people were bummed by that, and I'm sorry. We're not trying to fuck with you. It's just that I am shooting my special on the 28th or 29th in San Francisco, and I couldn't do another show while those tickets were on sale. I'm legally not allowed to do that.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of other good podcasts. Moshe Kasher will be there.
Oh, the lineup is amazing.
JV Clip. And yeah, their lineup is phenomenal. They have like, you know, they have Christopher Guest who's going to be there and like Sally Field. And it's just amazing. So sfsketchfest.com.
Yeah, it is my favorite comedy festival in the world. I did it every year since 2005. And this is the first year that I haven't done it. And it's happening earlier this year because of the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Super Bowl's happening
in San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
Well,
so
Santa Clara, it's not the same thing.
Still,
don't even get me started on it.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, like I've been talking to Jana before, and she was like, "Yeah, after a certain point, there's no hotel rooms, there's no anything. The city is gridlocked with Super Bowl traffic." So, and then I'll be doing the Fun Comfortable special. Handful of dates coming up that are going to be where I'm the last handful of shows in. I'm going to be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, and then Zany's in Nashville, and then I'm going to be in Atlantic City in Baltimore. So go to funcomfortabletour.com. And I think we're taping two shows for the special at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. And I think they're close to sold out or not. So anyway, funcomfortabletour.com. And there you go. This episode is Michael Shannon, who's so fucking funny. And he was, if you happen to catch him on At Midnight, because I don't think people think of Michael Shannon as a comedy guy.
Nope. But he's hilarious.
But his heart is a comedy guy's heart. And he was so fucking funny on At Midnight. And he was great on the podcast. Just so dry and hilarious and awesome. And he's promoting 99 Homes, now available on video on demand. Also, Freeheld with Ellen Page and Julianne Moore. It's no longer in theaters, but it'll be available to rent and buy soon. And also, The Night Before with Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Anthony Mackie, which is in theaters now. So get more Michael Shannon. He's in a ton of movies that are coming out. And maybe a little, he might be a character by the name of General Zod. Maybe, if you're interested in that sort of thing. If that sort of thing is up your alley, then Michael Shannon is your guy. But he's fucking such a great actor. He's such a great actor. He's like, he's one of those guys that when he's on screen, you cannot take your eyes off him.
He's so intense.
So compelling. Yeah. And great. So thanks to Michael Shannon for being on the podcast and for doing the At Midnight. Here's the Nerds Podcast number 765 with Michael Shannon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Mike, please sit here. I am Chris. It's nice to meet you. I'm sorry, I'm wearing makeup still. I just got off work. Or if you like it, then surprise.
Maybe I should lick it off.
Wait, we stopped laughing.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice.
Thank you for coming.
No problem.
It's an audio podcast. What would that sound like? You licking makeup off of Chris?
It's
the
Did you pick that up?
Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah. Katie got all that? That's exactly great. What that sounds like.
Thanks for the arrowhead, by the way.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Do you enjoy these water nubs? I don't know at what point they decided that we only needed like 4 ounces of water.
Well, it's the shortage, you know.
No, it's a scheme. It's some corporate scheme. This is,
you know, all these brands of water are all owned by Nestle. Have you looked at them? If you go around to different regions of the country, they're all owned by Nestle.
Yeah.
Nestle Waters. So the same people that make the Nestle Crunch Bars have bought up all the water.
And they're also
in our country.
They're illegally still using California as a water resource.
Allegedly, like, but probably. Yeah.
No, not allegedly.
All right.
Their permits are done, but they're still doing it.
And they're still using
the California
water.
And I saw an interview about 6-7 years ago with the Nestle CEO talking about buying. He bought a shit ton of water in Canada, like a shit ton of land that had natural water in it. And he was just saying how, like, this is the future. Everyone's going to need to buy their water.
Exactly. In Canada?
Yeah. Well, everywhere. He just bought it as a natural resource.
So ever since they've started doing this, I've stopped eating the Crunch Bars.
it's a sign of protest.
Yeah. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, fuck you, Crunch Bars. Yeah. You don't need your shit.
CEO of Nestle is a Bond villain.
That's going to be... That will be a Bond plot at some point, right?
It was, Quantum of Solace.
Oh, that's right. That was not my favorite one.
Although the guy from Procter & Gamble is the Satanist, right?
Is he?
The guy who runs Procter & Gamble. Didn't he go on Donahue?
I'm seeing some head nodding in the background, so I'll just go along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who says... right? Yeah,
That's fun.
He went on some talk show, I think it was Donahue, years ago, and said he was a Satanist and that nobody cared. They just kept buying his soap. Because we need the soap, even if it comes from Satan. You got to be clean, you know.
I feel like Satan's very clean, right?
Yeah. I don't, you know, need to know about your politics or religion. If your soap's good, your soap's good.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no social media back then, so people couldn't freak out about anything. You just saw about it on Donahue. You got mad for 5 minutes, and then you did something else.
Watch Jenny Jones.
Yeah.
Right after.
I noticed you have a flip phone.
Oh, you saw that?
Oh, yeah. I heard flip when you slammed it shut.
You're like Inspector Gadget. You see everything.
No, if I were Inspector Gadget, my body would be a flip phone.
That's right.
Do you not enjoy the internet, or do you just enjoy having just a phone?
Oh, what's not to enjoy about the internet?
Well, where do you want to start?
That's where he learns about Nestle.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you why I have a flip phone. To call people.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? I don't understand.
Yeah.
What type of daring new approach to cellular technology is this?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't buy anything like anything Apple. I can't buy it.
You're not a fan?
No.
What did they do? What's their new thing?
I don't know. I see my little daughter futzing with my partner's iPhone, and I get upset because they designed something and they knew it. Like Steve, what's his last name? Jobs. He knew when he was making this that he was going to make something that little children would be hypnotized by, and it's just making me sick. So I stay away from it.
All right, that's totally fair.
When I'm on a subway car on the MTA in New York City and I see 80% of the people on that subway car playing stupid games on their phones, I realize we could probably do without these things.
That's why I bring my Nintendo 3DS on
there
trains
you go.
As well.
Yeah. I bring my Coleco.
Oh, do you bring a ColecoVision?
Yeah.
And an old TV, an old cathode ray tube television set?
But people get mad because it takes up a lot of space. But it
seems excessive, especially if you're going to a store. You're going to have to carry all of that.
It's super rare. You're out hipstering hipsters bringing
a
ColecoVision.
Well, I always pay twice for each. I put my card in twice.
Feel good about it.
I feel like that would be... It's like the dudes who carry the retro boomboxes, there have to be hipsters who are bringing old console gaming systems.
Well, check this out, okay? Yeah. So a little while ago, I did this lip sync battle show.
Yes.
And as a special gift, they gave me a thing that looks like a giant boombox from, like, you know, Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually, like, just a port for your...
Phone or pod? pad,
whatever evil little machine you have that you listen to music on.
A lot of vitriol.
Yeah, yeah. You just plug it into this thing that's basically, it's like, well, why wouldn't you just have the cassette player? Because that's basically what it is. It's that large. Because everybody was always like, oh, the benefit of the evil little machine is that it's little and you can just put it in your pocket. But now they're making giant boom boxes to house your evil little machine.
The narrative in my head that is, I think is delightful, is after the show is done and they give you that and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then you smash it.
No, I gave it to my friend. Because I'm constantly getting stuff I don't want and giving it to people that I like to call my friends.
Sure.
Yes.
It is it is kind of a weird thing when you get to a certain point and people are like, send that guy stuff. And you're like, first of all, I don't need anything. There's more stuff to deal with. Send it to less fortunate people.
Right. Well, like the time I got Spanx.
They look great on you, by the way. They look great.
I didn't really know what to do with those. Oh, they gave me Spanx but also the gelatinous butt pads.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you want some booty.
I think they got the wrong name down at the front desk or something. I don't know.
That guy who played Van Alden on Boardwalk Empire, give him those butt pads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the one thing that character really needed. Was
you gotta jive him up.
I felt like such a, even though there's an internet, I figured this out without the internet, but when I started watching Boardwalk, I was like, I think that might be Fred Kleiser from Groundhog Day, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. Something about your face as a very young man and your face on that mashed together, and I couldn't figure, and then I watch again, and that fucking entirely was you in that movie.
It was, yeah, although I look pretty different. I mean, I got a picture of it on my flip phone if you want to see it.
I would love to see that.
Okay, let me go get it. Okay. Somebody was watching Groundhog Day, and they took a picture of it, and they sent it to me. Like,
oh, it wasn't like back in 93 when you got that phone?
Like, I would be surprised. I didn't have a cell phone in 93.
When did you finally give in? When did you finally go, fuck, all right, I guess I'll get a cell phone?
See, there's the sound of it turning on. I got it like, I don't know, 7 years ago.
Oh, he's a Sprint man.
Well, this is actually Credo. You know Credo?
No.
Oh, everybody should get Credo. It's a progressive phone company. They're liberal. Because most phone companies are ultra right-wing fascists. So,
and they donate to the environment and stuff like
stuff
that?
Yeah, stuff like that. I know you're going to laugh. You think that's silly.
I don't think that's silly at all.
We should just do the whole podcast. I should just show you pictures on
your phone. Yeah. And people just hear the little beeps as you navigate the phone.
But, I don't know.
I'm going to be very excited that you're going to show me this picture.
Well, it's a dumb picture. I mean, somebody sent it to me, and they said, look, here's you and Groundhog Day. And I was like, well, why do you think I care? You think? But what's great about it is, because of the formatting, this picture, it got squashed a little bit. So I look real weird in this. See, check that out. I look like... like
that is mad scientist.
Yeah.
That is
my head squashed a little bit in there.
That's...
Oh, wow.
I bet you know exactly what this is. You're saying...
You're saying,
thanks, you're a real pal.
Mr. What was it? Connor?
Mr. Frank Connors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mr. Connors. Yeah, yeah.
You're a real pal. And then
you
look...
You got it down, man.
It's one of my favorite movies. And then you look awkwardly at Annie McDowell, and then your wife drags you away.
I kiss you Annie kiss McDowell, her. Yeah. And then Hendon Walsh, who plays my wife.
Debbie Kleiser.
She was I don't know where she lives now, but at the time, she was a brilliant improviser in Chicago. That was, that was fun.
Did you, were you in the improv scene in Chicago?
Yeah, I do it a little bit. Do you know TJ and Dave?
No.
TJ Jagodowski and Dave Pasquazi?
No, I feel like I should know them, and I don't know them.
Yeah, they're legends.
I feel like I've just dropped the comedy ball.
No, it's okay. Have you spent any time
in Chicago? Yeah. I go through and do stand up, but I haven't spent any time actually in the
where at Zany's.
It was Zany's, and the last time I was there was at the Vic.
You did the Vic.
I did. Wow. Yeah.
I love the Vic.
The Vic, and then there was a really cool space called the Lakeshore Theater, which was really cool.
Oh, on Broadway.
Yeah, but then I think it closed. But yeah, but Zany's in Chicago is a staple of comedy. I mean, it's a...
Because my theater is across the street from Zany's.
Yeah, yeah. That little strip right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. When did you... Because you were born in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was also born in Kentucky.
What?
Where? Yeah. Yeah, I was born in Louisville.
Louisville? I'm a Lexington.
You're a Lexington guy. You look like a Lexington man.
Blue against red.
I don't know if there's a rivalry or whatnot.
There is. The college university basketball teams.
Oh, that sounds like sports. Mm-hmm. When did you... and are you a blue or a red?
Well, UK is in Lexington. That's the Wildcats. They're blue.
And Louisville's Cardinals?
Louisville's Cardinals.
Ah. Yeah. The only reason I know that is because my parents were friends with the college basketball coach at the time when I lived there.
Which one?
His name was Denny Crum.
Oh, yeah, Crum.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I know about it.
Wow, you were so close to royalty.
I was so close, and I didn't even know.
You didn't even give a shit.
I didn't. He was a nice, very nice man, but I didn't understand anything about it. My parents were fanatical about sports, and I just didn't get the gene.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't get it. When did you move to Illinois?
I started going up there when I was little. My father lived up there when I was five. He moved up there, and I started going up there to see him. And then I went a couple of years of high school. I went up there, and then I got out of high school and started doing plays in Chicago.
And that's when you decided that was going to be
I was going to be on your show. Yes.
I'm so glad that you're
25 years ago.
It
I was
paid
like,
off.
Someday.
My question is, where do you go from here? I mean, like now that it's all like once you've attained this goal. I mean,
I think it's obvious. Chrissy just walks into the ocean.
Exactly.
That's what a man does.
Slowly undressing myself as I walk into the
ocean. Or you wear a lot of robes and you let that weigh you down.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Or I set myself on fire and walk into the ocean.
Wait,
it's counterproductive, but okay. It's fine. It's fine.
You have to keep setting yourself on fire.
Exactly.
You're just going to smolder the entire time.
I know.
Like a brisket.
But what about the dolphins?
You'll literally be sealing in your own juices.
I may be the tastiest actor ever by the end of it.
Which actor do you think is the most delicious besides
you?
You
know what? We had that talk with Nico Case. We were trying to figure out which actors and performers were the most delicious, and I can't remember who we...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think we determined that Matthew McConaughey would have a smoky flavor, if I'm not mistaken.
He's too lean.
You think so?
Not enough fat on that.
All right.
Orson Welles.
Oh, he'd be tasty.
He'd be succulent.
All the bacon that he ate would seep in, give it a nice salty flavor.
Yeah. Be really good.
Yeah.
I was reading about you on the internet, and you're...
Pervert.
I couldn't masturbate more than twice.
Yeah.
Can you isolate him saying pervert so I can have that as my text message tone? Pervert.
Michael, there's your there's a side business right there. Yeah. Is you just saying things that become text and ringtones to people?
Donut.
There's Matt's ring.
Oh, hang
Deuteronomy.
Whoa. That's my parents.
His grandfather was a very famous entomologist, which I think is fucking awesome.
Bugs. It's true. My grandfather has a cove named after him. Can you say that?
Shannon Cove?
Shannon's Cove in Panama.
What? That's awesome. His grandfather identified the mosquito that was bringing malaria into the New World and then donated all of his specimens when he died to the Smithsonian.
And all his bugs, too. Oh.
Four 400 pairs of socks that
Yeah.
I guess we got to catalog it. Yeah.
It's all in the Smithsonian, I'm telling you.
They'll take anything.
There. Yeah, yeah. The sock collection at the Smithsonian.
I'll be there next week. I'm going to check it out.
But you never knew your grandfather, he passed away. He was pretty young when he passed away.
Yeah, my dad was five when his father died, so, yeah.
Is your dad still around?
No, he died, too.
Yeah, mine, too. God damn it.
They're all wiped out.
What the fuck? Yeah, dead dad club.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Probably Nestle's fault.
It is Nestle's fault.
There we go. Boils down to it.
The crunch. The crunch of death.
It's called a sweet release for a reason.
Yeah, Nestle exactly. is harvesting souls to yes. power their weird candy factory.
And turning them into water.
Turning people into water. It's not unlike the Matrix. Nestle's using human beings as batteries.
Nothing yes. would surprise me.
To power their weird factory.
Yeah.
I was looking at your IMDb page, and you literally have
me
like
too.
That's so strange. You have like 12 things that haven't are about to come out.
Yes.
How did you cram that much? How did you manage to maneuver that many things at one time?
Well, there are multiple dimensions, and I travel between them.
I'd always suspected as much.
Some of these movies were made in our dimension, and mm-hmm. some were made in an alternate dimension.
So they won't actually even be viewable in this third dimension?
Oh, on Netflix, yeah.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
sure.
Netflix is the interdimensional portal.
You said you liked Super String Theory. Here's some movies in 5D.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's what they're going to do.
No, most movies that don't have any money shoot in like 4 or 5 weeks. So you can cram them in. You know, you just go 25 days and you're done.
Do you like to, it seems like you like to work a lot.
I like it all right. I wouldn't mind taking a break, but, you know, sometimes the opportunities are, they're not going to stick around forever. You don't have the luxury of saying, oh, I really want to do this, but I want to do it 5 months from now.
Right.
They're like, no, we have the money, and if we don't do it right now, we'll lose the money. And so you do it.
How long do you feel like it took you to hit a stride where it just, I mean, do you feel pretty secure at this point?
Feel secure?
I mean, secure with work. Do you feel like, yeah, you know, I'm going to work for a while?
No, just ask him about the general question, because I feel like that really got him.
Yeah, that tripped me up, man. Shit. Well, I'm pretty much booked up for the next couple of years, so, yeah, I guess so. But then things fall apart, too, you know. You get involved with a project, and then the money pulls out at the last minute, you know. But I don't know. I feel like I could always find something to do. But like what I'm doing right now, I'm doing a play at my theater in Chicago, and I'm doing it basically for free. So it's not like I'm making a fortune of money. Not like you.
No one makes money like him, Michael. Yeah. It's not.
I'm wearing makeup.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what people who are making money do. They wear makeup.
They wear makeup.
Good to
all
know.
The time. No, but it's good to. I mean, do you feel like these bits in between working on films where you go back into the theater, do you feel like those are necessary for you to kind of revitalize?
Oh, I love doing theater. I mean, I try and do it as much as possible. I mean, they're very different. Theater and movies are very different for me. But theater is more, maybe more cathartic for me, anyway. Movies are very technical, you know. They're very, it's a very difficult process to try and make a movie worth watching. It takes a lot of exactness, I guess.
Do you like that process?
Sometimes. Sometimes I don't, you know. I mean, you just know every day that you're on set that this is your one shot at getting this particular scene right. And so that's a lot of pressure. And when you're doing a play, you know, no matter what happens, you can go out and do it tomorrow and do it completely different if you want. You don't have that luxury with movies.
Do you have a preference for more intimate films that you shoot in 25 days or like a, you know, a massive budget superhero franchise like your Man of Steel type film, for example?
Well, I like both of them for different, excuse me, different reasons. I mean, I really Jesus, I sound funny.
It's the Nestle's. Really,
it's the Nestle's water. It's got drying particles.
It's sentient water.
It's added dry
you
particles.
Need more,
to the water.
Don't you?
And yet I'm still thirsty.
I don't know. I don't. You ripped the label off, but I don't know if that's going to help change the quality of the water.
No, I think it might.
I can feel it changing already. No, I love doing Man of Steel. I mean, I love working with Zach. I mean, that guy is so much fun to work with, you know. I mean, it's hard to say that there's a huge difference for me personally. I mean, I do like the adrenaline that comes with knowing you don't have a lot of time. I think sometimes that pushes you to a place of more honesty or something. Sometimes you get too much time to think about something, then it becomes very, you know, premeditated or whatever. So sometimes it's good to rush. Just rush through it and see what comes out of your, you know, subconscious.
So without giving too much away, what is the exact plot start to finish of Dawn of Justice?
Oh, man. It's so weird. I can't talk about it.
Isn't that strange that just
everybody wants
head.
To talk to me about it, and I can't talk about
it. No, I'm just fucking with you.
It's like if I was in Mossad and you were like, so what's Israel's next move? And I was like, I can't tell you that.
Yeah, but come on. No one's listening.
Yeah. No, I know
on
that.
The side?
No, I know you can't.
Are these microphones actually plugged
no,
into
no,
anything?
Nothing.
This is just for us.
Okay.
They're plugged in below. We have a boombox.
Oh, okay. Nice. Nice. So it's like a mixtape.
Yeah.
You're still in traffic. This is part of a... This is a just traffic, part of a daydream that you're having.
Carbon monoxide experience. Yeah.
Because you're in an old car.
No, he's just in a Volkswagen.
Oh, right. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like your heart is a comedy guy. You seem, but most people get that?
That in my heart, I'm a comedian?
I think so.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what most people think. I don't talk to a lot of people. I mean, this is a very special thing that I'm here talking to you because I don't like to talk to people very much. And I really hate to hear what other people think about things.
Okay. I don't have...
Well, you are on the wrong podcast, my friend.
I don't know if there's a right podcast.
No, I mean, I got this Night Before movie coming out. That's a comedy.
You have a shit ton of stuff. Yeah, that's Seth's in that. You're going to be on At Midnight tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Seth's in that, and Anthony Mackie's in that as well.
And JGL.
Yeah, JGL, who's wonderful.
We did Premium Rush together.
That's right.
That was ostensibly a comedy as well.
Nothing's funnier than messengers trying
they didn't market
escape
it properly.
Death.
Well, my part anyway. It had a lot of jokes in it, I thought. I don't know. Maybe I just have a dark sense of humor, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's healthy, though. I think a dark sense of humor is healthier than not having a dark sense of humor. I don't know how else people deal with the fucking world if they didn't have a dark sense of humor.
Well, yeah. I mean... Yeah, I agree.
But you obviously care about stuff. You obviously care about stuff, which is why you use a phone company that you feel like is better for the environment, and you don't like to use corporate stuff that you feel like is trashing the environment. You obviously
and
care
I've
about
stopped
stuff.
Using diapers because I feel like it's irresponsible.
Did you go back to cloth? Or did
yeah, I'm back to cloth diapers.
He's a catheter man.
Yeah, yeah.
Reusable.
I've always been that way. I mean. When I was a teenager, I used to canvas for Ralph Nader's thing, PIRG. What was it? Public Interest Relations Group. But you'd go door to door and talk about the air and the water, and be people would slam the door in your face. Now they make them do it on the sidewalk. You don't even go door to door. You just stand out on the sidewalk. Have you ever seen this? Well, oh, yeah. In L.A., this probably doesn't happen.
No, yeah, there's not a lot of foot traffic in Los Angeles.
Happens on Larchmont.
On Larchmont they do it? Yeah,
all the time.
Well, I used to be one of those people. I thought, I was contributing, and then I gave up, started acting. But, yeah, I've always been worried about the environment a great deal. Yeah.
I just don't remember a lot of 15-year-olds when I was growing up that really were that conscious. I mean, there's something very specific about a kid who decides that that is something that's important to them. Because I feel like most kids are just Snapchatting and thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
So what was it about? What was it about that?
I don't know. Maybe it was because I wasn't really entrenched in my high school social circle. I mean, it was very weird. Like, I did grammar school and middle school in Kentucky. And then when I started high school, I came to this giant high school on the North Shore of Chicago. And I didn't know a soul. So it wasn't like I didn't have that click to entrench myself in. So I thought about other things, I guess.
And then you never gave up.
I never gave up. I'm not a quitter.
Says the man who's walking into the ocean in about a half an hour.
Exactly.
Well,
no, I guess I gave up on the environment a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
but I still I don't drive. I mean, I don't have a car.
You don't need to. You live in New York.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So maybe, hopefully that's helped. Although I fly around all the time, which is terrible. But United was supposed to be buying some planes that ran on biodiesel. Did you read about that?
No. Did they not?
They might have, but I can't fly them anymore because they're so terrible. I wanted to switch to United, but they're...
Best experiences on United either.
Oh, that's always my last ditch airline.
Yeah.
They used to be great, but they went downhill.
Yeah, there's something about the last couple United planes I was on. I was like, this one still has ashtrays with cigarette burns in it. Yeah. I don't know if I feel that great about this.
The last United flight I got on, I was going to Chicago, and it was a late flight. It was like a red-eye flight. But it's kind of brutal because the flight's only 3.5 hours, so it's not like you can spend the night on the plane. You're only there a brief time. I think it was supposed to take off at like midnight or something. And they board the entire plane. We're all sitting there. Then the pilot comes on and he says, well, it looks like somebody on the ground crew thinks we might have a flat tire. And I've been flying since I was a little boy, and I've never heard this ever in my life on a fully boarded plane that somebody on the ground crew is just kind of eyeballing it. It's like, that tire might be flat. So the pilot's like, we're going to let him do a thorough examination. And then sure enough, like a half hour later, he comes on. It's like, yeah, we got a flat tire. And if we have one flat tire, then that means we have to change all of them.
Oh.
And so we're sitting there, and then he keeps saying, but don't worry, we'll make up for it in the air. And I was planning on sleeping on the flight. Like, that was the only sleep I was going to get that night. Isn't this the best story you've ever heard?
It's good.
It rivals the Magnificent Ambersons. and then, like, an hour later, we took off, and then the guy got to Chicago in, like, 2 hours. I don't know how. And
he really did make up for it.
Not 2 hours, but much quicker than. Because
they're always sticking around. They always take their.
Well, slots. That's the thing. I don't know if you know this about most. The airlines, the routes they take between cities are not the most direct routes.
Sure.
They zigzag. They don't go like in a straight line, like the absolute most direct way. I don't know why. I don't know why they do that.
Probably more fun, or weather patterns, or air traffic.
Yeah.
Or air traffic patterns.
Or they're going to burn a certain amount of fuel before they land.
I think you're lucky that the United pilot didn't get on and go, did anyone bring a spare tire?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, my wife was coming back from Haiti 2 weeks ago, and the flight was through Atlanta. So she gets to Atlanta. She was going up to New York from there, and they loaded everybody on the plane, and then the pilot came on and said, we got a problem. We updated the plane's software, and we can't seem to get it out of the metric system. Which is a huge problem for planes because of fuel and liters versus gallons.
That's all the numbers.
So they're like, we're gonna see if we can get this fixed. Hour goes by. They're still on the plane. Comes on and goes, can't get it fixed. We're going to go ahead and try and load the old software back on the plane.
Oh, God.
So
get another, the ColecoVision back in there. Yeah.
Another 2 hours later,
yeah, the plane with the paddles.
They deboard, and they just ushered that plane into its hangar because they're like, we can't figure this out.
Oh my God!
Isn't that, and they're at the hub. They're at the Delta hub. Like they couldn't fucking pull Delta. Another plane. And the other time, and then right before that, Dory and I we were leaving to go up to Seattle, and we took off from LAX, and it was on Frontier. Or Alaska, it was on Alaska Air, and we took off, and the plane was old. I was like, this is a pretty old plane. And then we took off, going over the water, the LAX flight pattern, you know, you go up and over the ocean. And then I just heard this thump, 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 thump. And I just said to Dory, I was like, that is not what it's supposed to sound like. That sounds like a hydraulic line. So the pilot comes on and says, we are leaking hydraulic fluid.
Oh.
We're going to go ahead and turn around.
Oh, shit.
And then you could see hydraulic fluid shooting out of the water. And then as we're coming in for the landing, you look and it's just the whole fire department's there. Everything's like that. And I was just like, I said to her, don't worry. It's the landing gear is stuck down, which is where you want it stuck.
Right.
So, you know, we came in, we had a pretty nice landing, but we got off the plane and I looked up that plane. I was like, let me look up this plane. When was the last time this plane was made? The last time this plane was built was 1999. If you're flying a plane, I'm not driving a Toyota from 99. You shouldn't be flying me in a fucking airplane.
Plane from 1999, yeah.
They can just 16 stick some years. Of that together. They can just stick some of that back together.
It's,
you
ridiculous.
Know?
And then we finally got to Seattle. We were supposed to fly
just
to...
Tell it, Andy Rooney.
Try to fly to Iceland. We got to Seattle, trying to fly to Iceland, and the Finnish airplane was like... Iceland airplane was like, they started to board us, and then they were like, okay, we're going to stop boarding. They let everybody off, and they're like, we're like, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, we need a part. It's like, what do you mean you need a part for the plane? They're like, we have to have a part. And
well, we'll figure out what that part is.
I was like, what are you going to do? And they're like, well, we might have another plane coming in. We can take it off of that one. I was like, well, what about
those? It's like Legos.
Yeah.
My daughter just built a Lego plane. So it's probably a more dependable flying machine than any of these other planes we've been talking about.
Yeah. We've had bad luck with planes lately. But anyway.
What are you doing flying Alaska Airlines, man?
It was the only way to get up to go to Iceland.
Alaska's not terrible, though.
Alaska Air is not terrible.
Yeah, Alaska Airlines is not terrible.
It was fine.
They
that
had
plane,
the big
however,
crash.
The plane that was shooting hydraulic fluid past my window was not a great plane.
Is this show sponsored by Alaska Airlines?
Listen, I'm just saying they do a lot of great work for the environment.
We're going to have to cut out my story if that's the case.
And Alaska is.
The ocean needs hydraulic fluid. That's what makes the water grow.
Yes,
oh,
Michael. There it is.
Hang on. What?
You're right, Michael. They are increasing their flights to 19 new destinations that are exciting to you, the listener.
Yes, exactly. Direct to Buffalo. Yeah.
They have the greatest frequent flyer mile, 5 years running.
Yeah.
Their program's great.
And they have miles great animals on the backs of their planes.
Do they?
Painted on the...
I just thought it was like a Native American.
Well, to Chris, that
okay.
is an A.
All right.
There's no difference.
That was the
That's his personal
that
politics.
That was the best.
Yes. At all. Yes.
Welcome, yes. the new host Never. Of the Nerdist yes. Podcast, Michael Shannon, everybody. Yes. Michael, welcome
Eskimo
back.
Eskimo Airlines.
Yes. You'll get Inuit.
Yeah, you get Inuit.
Guys, we have a lot of fun here. Thanks so much for being here, Chris.
We really
You've been
do.
A great
Rightfully,
guest.
Michael, you get to take over the podcast now. That nice. Was the death throw.
That was a great run.
You must feel very vulnerable being in the position you're in. People constantly coming in here and trying to get you to trip over, you know, and stumble. And
you don't know.
Reveal your true personal demons.
I wish.
That's a great concept for a podcast. Every guest comes to overthrow the host.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and then that would be. Then gets to be the
that
host.
Would be that would be an amazing.
Save it for the next time we do it.
If you could just get to, if
you when you get Spielberg, on.
Yeah. He's gonna Spielberg be like, I'm gonna do this. Yeah, I'm gonna do this.
I'm gonna overthrow these.
I'm
guests.
Gonna bring that prick down.
No,
I just I honestly normally when we have guests on. Sometimes it's hard to get actors to talk, you know. They're not thinking so much about overthrowing me as they're just worried.
Thinking about what they look like without their clothes on.
That's right. They're thinking about what they themselves look like without their clothes on.
Yeah.
What do I look like without my clothes
it's
on?
It's been a while since I looked in the mirror. Are those like handcuffs on your keyring?
What is
those
this?
Are really interesting.
Oh, well, that's just a, you know, that's a little clip. I throw that in there like a janitor on my belt, on my
on your,
pant. Yeah. And then this is just a way to keep all the keys organized without having like a bunch of keychains.
Looks like you're a security guard at Meerkat Manor.
And then we have
just like throw the cups. Yeah,
we're a Volvo family, so I have my wife's keys and my keys on there, and I
How
walk
many kids
here.
You got?
Zero kids.
They just got married.
We just got married
a month
and
ago.
You have a Volvo.
We have two Volvos, matching Volvos, which we bought before we knew each other.
Wow,
that's how they knew it was right.
We're just into safety. Safety first. Yeah.
Yeah. This is sponsored by Alaska Airlines and Volvo.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're being kind to Volvo.
Do you think we could be sued by Alaska Airlines?
No.
You can't be sued for saying that you don't like something or having an experience.
I'm telling you facts.
If you said, you know, if you said something like, an Alaska Airlines plane definitely fucked a baby, then yes, then you could get sued
well,
for that.
Chris, that's actually true.
Wait, no, Matt,
I saw
that
it
you
happen.
Can get sued for.
I saw it happen.
That you
at the
on
Denver
Melrose.
Airport. Nope, it was
Denver,
at the Denver Airport.
Denver
that
airport.
Was built by
for.
The lizard people, Illuminati,
cannot,
look it up.
You can't make a claim. You couldn't say something that as though it were a fact unless you had proof. But you're allowed to opine. You're allowed to say, you know, like everything you said about United's fine. I agree with you. And I'm sure someone is probably going to reach out to your PR from United and be like, hey, we're just going to give Michael Shannon some free...
Planes.
Is that your... they don't have all the parts.
Oh, we were going to say Miles, but I guess... Oh, God, I'm probably going to get fired for this, but yeah.
Here to pick up my plane.
Oh, I guess we can give him a plane. Jesus Christ. All right. I'll run it upstairs. Bob!
Yeah.
Listen, I don't work here anymore. I need to quit. It's too much pressure.
Oh, Jeff Smizik, right? He's the CEO.
Is that the CEO?
Because now when you get on, you got to watch that safety video, but it opens with him saying, I'm the CEO.
A lot of the CEOs Smile are on the safety videos now.
Yeah, they're all up in it.
I'm Richard Anderson, CEO of Delta Airlines.
Oh, man.
On behalf of the Delta family, thanks for...
Thanks for letting us screw you over today.
I just want to make sure
you
feel like I give a shit about you.
Exactly.
Also, we can't turn the plane on, so the air conditioning is... Don't worry about it. You'll just be on the tarmac for a while.
Don't ask any questions and shut the fuck up.
In the eventuality of a water evacuation.
Cut, Richard. We can't say eventuality.
Fuck you. This is my plane company. This is my great grandfather's desk. He fucked a lot of people on this desk. We're still rolling.
Allegedly.
Oak.
Why did we agree to live stream this safety video?
God, there's so many places this went wrong.
Yeah. This could be their new video, even though it's just audio.
You know what sucks is that they're so boring, and then they try to update the safety videos to make them fun, but then when you fly a lot, you're like, oh, I can't hear this fucking safety song one more time. It's going to drive me crazy. Like, you see it once.
Virgin America safety song. We're all
yes.
But the Delta one, I feel like they change it every 2 or 3 months. I feel like they put a new one in.
But they still got that Delta lady in there with the red hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smoking is not allowed. And it's down the flat.
You must fly a lot.
I spend a lot of fucking time in planes. I spend way too much time.
Where do
time
you fly?
I'm doing stand up almost every weekend. So every I go weekend. To everywhere, yeah. everywhere in the United States. I don't have enough time.
What are you doing this weekend? Because I'm having a little get together.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm
interesting you bring up the get together right after you find out he's gone every weekend. Yeah. I like your style, Michael Shannon.
You know what? I can change my plans. I'll come over. Of course I will.
No, it's in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll perform there.
Piggyback on this thing, you know, I got going on.
I actually have, this is my first weekend off in a very long time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are you going to do? Mani pedi.
Mani pedi. Yep. Yep.
Spray tan.
It's got to spray tan it up, you know, got to go in there. I'm going to have some abs painted on, nice. Botox, lip plump, and I'm just going to have an extra eye put in my face.
Oh, wow.
Just to draw attention away from the fact that I'm getting older.
Sure.
You just put a third eye on your head.
You don't seem that old.
I'm older than you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm older than you. Get up.
All right.
Sit down, I'll Junior.
I'll do whatever you say.
That's how that works.
Yeah. Respect. Respect your elders.
What do you do with free? What do you do with free time? Well, you have a child, so you probably spend a lot of free time.
I have two childs.
You have two childs.
Yeah, two daughters.
Are they both in the same relative age range?
Sylvia is 7, and Marion is 2, almost 2. She'll be 2 in January.
So this is a serious question. What do you tell your 7-year-old who's just starting to grasp what the world is when there are so many horrible things going on? What do you say to your children to make them feel better?
Yeah, man. Put me on the spot.
Yeah, shit just got serious.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she really knows about what's like going on in Paris or any of that, but I don't know. I just try and let her know that I love her and that I'm there for her and I'm trying to take care of her as best as I can, you know.
Does she understand? Do kids understand your job? Do they understand that what you do?
Oh yeah, no, she knows what I do. I mean, she's seen me in plays, and she's seen her mother in plays. She loves the theater, so the movie stuff she don't watch those, but she knows about it. I mean, she came and visited when I was doing Man of Steel. She came to Vancouver.
Visited
the set, and so she knows what I do, but I am gone a lot, but every second that I can be home, I'm home, you know. If I have 2 days off, I go home, even if I gotta pay for it out of my own pocket, I just go home. So, and when I can't be there, I just call as much as I can, keep up with them. You know?
Got to teach your kids how to play ColecoVision.
Yeah, sure. Well, she's got a little tablet. You know, the tablet.
Yeah.
She likes that one. Some sort of castle where you try and get the ball to roll around a certain way without falling off the thing.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Michael Shannon Explains Children's Games.
Yeah. It's a
ball and a thing.
It's fascinating.
Did you play video games when you were growing up?
Because
not everyone can just whip a ColecoVision reference right out of thin air.
No, I was, familiar with the Activision, Intellivision.
Mm-hmm. Intellivision.
Atari.
Yeah.
Go to the arcade from time to time. I was a big fan of this game called Elevator Action.
I know Elevator Action. Was fucking great.
Yeah. They had that at my neighborhood convenience store. So I would go in there and get some bubble gum and play Elevator Action until I ran out of quarters. Yeah.
What was the primary objective of Elevator Action? I just remember a lot of elevator chat. You were jumping from elevator to elevator.
And you were, like, blowing dudes away.
I thought you were going to say blowing dudes in elevators.
You were blowing dudes in elevators. Yeah. So the faster you hit the button, the more pleasure.
Some hot elevator action.
Well, I mean, all the dudes were very nondescript. You couldn't really see their facial reactions.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Well, the technology at the time limited the 8-bit nature of the...
It was like squares.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You know, so it was very difficult to tell.
If they were happy or sad. Yeah.
Just by the sound.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What?
Yeah.
That was the two sounds.
That was the... The reveal. Yeah. And then I played, what else? Shit. I played Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, me too. Do you still play?
No, I've moved on.
It's time. I am your elder, and I am telling you, you have to go back.
Oh. Oh.
Let's roll you up a character right now.
Oh, okay. What? I had an elf, a good elf.
He was good?
Yeah, he was.
Lawful good?
Badass. No, I mean, he was like, you wouldn't want to mess with him.
Oh, you want to fuck with the elf?
He had a lot of magic weapons and magic powers.
I mean, I think D&D is a great game for kids to play now because it instead of letting their imaginations be dictated by whatever's on a screen, you really had to, be creative to play that game.
Yeah,
and you had to learn about probability and fantasy, and I think I think kids should have to play D&D now and force them to use their imaginations.
Well, I mean, honestly, I credit Dungeons and Dragons with my success as an actor.
I'd suspected that when you
most of the characters I play, I the first thing when I'm doing my script analysis, I said, would this be a dwarf or a cleric? Or a thief.
Okay, let's go through some of your characters and figure out what race they were and what alignment they were.
Okay.
Fred Kleiser.
Elf.
Van Alden.
A dwarf. No, he was a halfling. He was a troll.
Ultimately, he was a troll.
Hobgoblin.
I think that's great. I think D&D is great.
Wait, what was General Zod?
Centaur.
Chaotic evil or chaotic good?
Neutral evil.
He was neutral evil.
He was lawful neutral.
Yeah.
He was
kind of doing the right thing for, you know, as he was.
I think he was, I think he was lawful evil. I think he was lawful
evil. No, he wasn't. Not on Krypton.
Not on Krypton, he wasn't, but
it's
on Earth.
It's all relative.
Yeah, that's
all
right, where he came from, though. He was
now you're talking about Kryptonian D&D, which is they have entirely different rules. They play
do.
With the crystals.
They have different. They have a seven-sided dice. No,
but he was just built to protect.
Look, there are
Kryptonian
people
life.
On Earth who are scheming how, when we've completely fucked this planet, which is going to happen any day now, we'll just go to some other planet and live there, which is basically the same thing that General Zod does in Man of Steel. Now, are the people that are coming up with those calculations currently, would you say they're lawful evil?
I would not.
You'd be like, I want that person to be my friend.
So basically you're saying Superman is protecting a planet of General Zods from General Zod.
No, it's just...
No.
What happens on Krypton is very similar. No, is very similar to what's currently happening on Earth.
Yes, that's very. I would tend to agree with that.
Krypton's
I would tend
dying.
To agree with that.
General Zod has
the opening scene.
No
Man of Steel
no
is General Zod standing in front of the Senate or whatever, being like, "This is screwed up. Our planet's about to explode." And they're like, "Well, too bad." And then it happens.
Yeah, but he's like, "I have to protect the people of Krypton. Yeah. That's what I'm built to do. Yeah. I need to do it." And then when he has the good fortune of landing on Earth, he's like, oh, great, I can bring everybody back. We have all the DNA.
Right.
But in Donner Superman, they go into the Phantom Zone.
We're not talking about Donner Superman.
But it's a mirror world. It's a Phantom Zone. It's a prison.
Well, we know which one you like better. Thanks for having me on the show. Maybe you should be talking to Terrence Stamp right now. Can tell you about how he achieves orgasm without climaxing.
I keep it all in.
Seriously, that's what he was into during that period. He was studying like weird sex practices.
Well, he was dressed for it.
Yeah, he was. That's why he was so happy all the time.
He seemed really happy all the time.
You're the most fun person I've had on in so long.
That's not true.
It's true.
Really?
Yes. I wish you would.
I heard you had Paul McCartney on.
We did. He was really fun.
Not he was, as fun was, as you, Michael.
Did you talk a lot about the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, he just kept saying those cunts. Right
yeah, yeah.
No, he was really cool. He was just really nice. I don't know. I think there are some people that are so used to people freaking out over them, and when you just talk to them, they're just normal. You know, he was just he was pretty as normal as a
normal
guy
as Paul McCartney can be.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, I've met people that were not remotely in the position that Paul McCartney was in, who were not as fun to talk to.
Have you talked to Rihanna?
I've never talked to Rihanna.
I bet she'd be great.
I've never
Why
talked
have you
to
not
Rihanna.
Talked to Rihanna?
I don't know. I don't have
Do
a reason.
Do you pick your guests, or are they appointed by a committee?
By a government committee.
Yeah.
That there's a process. I used to...
The Center for Disease Control.
The CDC picks all the guests.
That's the Kryptonian Senate that dictates who are
guilty. I used to, the first couple years of the podcast, I used to basically just ask people to come on, and then I hired Debbie and her friend Ashley, and then they started booking the podcast.
Headhunters.
That's right. Yeah. They're podcast headhunters.
Yeah.
They were working for Conan. They used to book for Conan, and then...
Well, he won't have me on.
What?
He won't.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm not sexy enough.
What?
I can only do this because it's not visual. People can imagine a much sexier person. I have a sexy voice, but no, you know.
Well, that's why you're my ringtone now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
What do I say?
Pervert and donut.
Pervert and donut.
Pervert, donut, and Deuteronomy.
What did my parents call?
You remembered all of it.
I retain some things. I retain some things.
You should be on. You remember that show, That's Incredible?
Yes, of course I do. Hosted by John Davidson.
Exactly. And
Kathy Lee Crosby. Yeah. Kathy Lee Crosby.
I think so.
And Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton, man.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You just triggered a memory. When I was a kid, my family was visiting Los Angeles, and so we went to a taping of That's Incredible.
Wow.
And there was a guy, a contortionist, a yogi, the Yogi Kudu. And he crushed himself in this tiny little plexiglass box. And then they thought he died. And they had to stop the taping. And they got him out. It turned out he was okay.
Jeez, was that traumatic?
That was incredible.
But like, did that stop you from... Were you not able to go into small spaces?
Yeah, that's when I decided I didn't want to be a contortionist anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And I left those dreams. And then I just ended up hosting shows like John Davidson.
Right. Do you ever have contortionists on this show?
No, are you a contortionist?
Yeah, you want me to do something?
Yeah, yeah, let's see.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
This is incredible.
He just fit in that water nub bottle of Arrowhead.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think he actually died. Hang on.
I think he's saying, leave me in here. Leave me in here? Yeah, I'm very happy in here. I'm flying. I'm flying.
We're all high on excitement, Michael.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's amazing. Well, you got out of that fast.
Yeah.
That's what he would have sounded like in Richard Donner's Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
Floated away.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. You know, effects were different back then. Things were a little bit different back then. Is it David? David Goyer was on the podcast. We had a
oh, he was?
Yeah, we had a big long talk about you
Me?
Know we had we talked
a
about
bit
you.
Of it, yeah,
we did talk a little bit because he basically was just sort of it was clear that and he had a really great answer for it, but he, you know, because people bugged him so much about like why did he kill Zod? He's not supposed to, and he's like fuck it. You have to understand the mentality of this alien and what's happening and why they you know. And he explained
Zod
it pretty
very
well.
Clearly says. One of us is going to die.
He has no choice.
Either me or you.
Yeah.
And if Superman dies, then everyone on Earth will die.
Yeah.
So he has to kill Zod.
He has no choice. He has no choice.
I mean, maybe if he just breathed on him really hard, you could have been frozen and then take him into the Forbidden Zone.
No, because you couldn't. He would just melt. He'd have the same powers, man.
No.
Unless he gets him to go into the chamber thinking that he's going to take
or
away.
Or he eats a lot of garlic. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Zod's a vampire?
No. Never mind.
The breath would have.
Oh, that too. Yeah. God, sorry.
I'm glad he stamped my neck. I found it kind of erotic, like, you know, Michael Hutchins. It's like a auto asphyxiation thing. I can't.
That is some next level BDSM right there.
Just like an elevator action, which is also next level.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the last level on elevator action.
what? Really?
Yeah, you blow him.
I was never that good. I never.
You blow him while you tie a belt around his neck and he puts an orange slice in his mouth.
Yeah.
That's the last level. It was weird how they got that to animate on that.
That's incredible, the show. I mean, we're almost at an hour. I don't want to keep you if you...
I'm more concerned about your listeners than anything.
What do you want to say to them?
So we're going
to
wrap up.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
I want to
go through the list of things that you have coming out because it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. You have Freeheld out November 5th with Ellen Page and Julianne Moore.
Yeah, that
you
was on.
The Night Before.
It's coming out.
Which is out November 20th. And then 99 Homes, which that looks amazing.
Yeah, it's come and gone, but I guess you can see it on the computer.
Can see it on your computer device?
Computer.
Just watch the screener, Chris. It's coming.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman?
Well, I also played Elvis.
Oh, Elvis and Nixon, right?
Yeah. And then I got this other thing, Frank and Lola. Wolves.
Yeah. I'm really going to...
Did another Werner Herzog movie. Did some stuff, man. I went to Bolivia.
How was Bolivia?
It's cool. I took my little brother down there. It was
cheap to make a movie there.
We went to the salt flats. I've got a picture of it on my phone. You want to see it?
Yes.
Okay. Michael Shannon. Let's see.
Oh, that Fred Kleiser picture's still on there. I mean, look at that, man. That's weird.
My head's all squished up.
I feel like I need a picture of your phone with the Fred Kleiser picture on
here,
it.
Here, take it. Okay. Go ahead. And then maybe you can send that out to
all of technology.
The listeners.
Perfect. Perfect.
The minions.
Minions.
Back. I've got 214 pictures on my phone. They're all pretty interesting. So,
do you want to walk through all of them?
God damn it! I would watch this YouTube show.
Here's me as a rodeo clown.
Oh, you're not fucking kidding. That's not a bit at all.
No, that's
what were you doing as a rodeo clown?
I was doing a cameo in a friend's movie. They wanted me to be a rodeo clown, so I did it.
That is fantastic.
You know, I'm pretty willing to, you know, do different things.
Do you feel like, is there anything you feel like you wouldn't do? Is there any type of movie you wouldn't do, any type of character you wouldn't play, or do you feel like you'd do everything if you liked the script?
Yeah, if I liked the script, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to shy away from too many vampire-like male prostitute parts.
You'd only want to do a few of those.
Yeah. There's a... That salt.
Oh, cool.
Oh, the salt flats. Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know why it makes those shapes. And then...
Here's what's coming out in 2016. The Price, Wolves, Nocturnal Animals, Poor Boy, Loving, Elvis and Nixon, Dawn O' Justice, the untitled Joshua Marston Project.
Yeah.
Salt and Fire!
Yeah.
The Night Before, Frank and Lola, Midnight Special.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's fucking amazing.
Well,
so your first couple of days on set of Dawn of Justice were pretty easy. You just lay there. You're already dead. Pretty cool, right? That's in the trailer.
Was the rodeo clown picture? Is that what happens to Zod?
That's what happens to Zod. Actually, he turns into
Lex reanimates him to turn him into a rodeo clown.
He'd be the best rodeo clown because he can actually handle the bulls.
But did you hear about Flippergate?
No.
You haven't heard this?
No. What's Flippergate?
Because it was on the internet.
Yeah, I don't believe in it. I don't believe that exists.
Well, some dude was interviewing me, asking me about this damn movie that I'm not supposed to talk about. And I said, I told a story. I said, well, he's like, what was it like to work on it? I said, it was very stressful because one day I had to go to the bathroom, and in this version of it, Zod has flippers instead of hands. So I was in the porta potty, and I was trying to go to the bathroom, and then I heard Zach through the little vent in the porta potty screaming like, "Where the fuck is Shannon?" And I was nervous because I hadn't gone to the bathroom yet, but I could tell they really needed me. So then I was trying to get out of the porta potty, but because I was wearing the flippers, I couldn't open the handle on the porta potty, and I was stuck in there. And Zach just kept screaming, "Where the fuck is Shannon?" Finally, I was like having a panic attack, and I started pounding on the door, and somebody got me out. So I told this story to some dude, and he like reported it, like, oh, it was like it really happened.
Now, when that happens, does someone from Warner Brothers call you and go, "What has happened?" Or do you just go, I was clearly not being serious."
Someone from the Department of Homeland Security called me.
Sure.
What's his name? Tom. The guy who runs
Sizemore. It's Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore, yeah.
He thinks he runs the Department of Homeland Security.
No, Warner Brothers didn't really care. I think they all knew it was a joke. I think Zach thought it was funny. My publicist was worried because I had Zach swearing in the story. And she's like, "Zach doesn't swear like that." I'm like, well,
that's the one part of the story.
Zach wouldn't scream fuck. Like, he would if you, like, dropped a brick on his foot.
Yeah, sure.
But see, that's got to be the most fun. That's got to be the most fun way to approach people in interviews, because I'm sure they all assume you're a super serious actor guy, and you're saying stuff to fuck around, and they're like, "Well, he's saying it very softly and intensely, so he must be serious."
Yeah.
Does anyone ever play along, or are they all afraid of?
Is everyone afraid of me?
I mean, you know, those junkets are pretty uncomfortable situations, and.
I feel bad for the journalists there, because they know when they walk in, it's like, you got 5 minutes to get the hell out of here, and the person's tired and whatever. And so yeah, I don't pull people's chain like that all the time. It's just, it's really frustrating because I can't talk about the movie.
Yeah.
And all anybody wants to ask me about is the movie. So that was, it was kind of a desperate move of like a desperate, a quiet desperation. Like Oscar Wilde said. Was it Oscar Wilde?
Yeah.
Most men live lives of quiet desperation, particularly if they work on comic book movies that they're not allowed to talk about.
He was very forward thinking.
Yeah.
Oscar Wilde was very forward thinking.
I hope it was Oscar Wilde. Otherwise, I'm going to seem like a total idiot.
Well, I'm going to seem like a moron because I agreed with you.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to know everything.
It was either Oscar Wilde or Oscar Robertson. I'm not sure. It was one of the
It was either Oscar Wilde or Oscar the Grouch.
No, it was NBA great Oscar Robertson. Everyone's right.
Yeah.
It was either Gandhi or Chewbacca who said... No one's ever said that sentence before.
it was Thoreau.
It was Henry...
It was not Thoreau. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah, it was Justin Thoreau.
It was the actor Justin Thoreau.
Justin Thoreau said that?
Yeah, he did.
Shit.
When he was in Walden Woods. When he was in a Walden Books.
Walden Pond.
He said.
Walden Books. Haven't
My sister used to work at Walden Books.
This sister right here?
Yeah.
Becky? You worked at Walden Books?
I did.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Was it next to an Orange Julius and an organ store?
Wurlitzer.
The Wurlitzers.
I worked at Super Crown Bookstore.
Super Crown.
Yeah.
Was that when you auditioned for the Man of Steel? Were you like, "Well, I worked in a Super Crown, so that qualifies me to play a Super"?
I've got the experience.
What was the delineation of a Super Crown?
Just better savings, bigger savings. We used to We used to pyramid the remainders. Do you know what that means?
No, but it sounds like you're
pyramiding the remainders. So these are books that are basically worthless that nobody will buy. So they, they sell them for like $2 or $3 a pop. But in order to entice you to look at them, they make you arrange, the employees arrange them in pyramids. So they're like pyramids of books.
And that makes them feel more special?
Yeah, so it's like going going to the pyramids, except made out
exactly
of
cheap books. It's exactly like going to the pyramids. Yeah, yeah.
That must be really miserable to have to fix the pyramids all the time.
I did that.
Because people are always
pyramided the remainders. That was a command that you could get from your manager. Go pyramid the remainders.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Someday, I'm going to be successful, and people aren't going to read books anymore. Shut up. And
exactly. I will outlive books.
Someday, Mr. Carruthers, I will be mayor.
Well, specifically, anything specific? Just those three things you want to promote? Is there anything else you want to throw out there? The floor is yours, Mr. Shannon. If there's anything you want to say to glide us in for a landing.
No. No, I'm very satisfied with this whole experience.
Good. Would you describe yourself as not very satisfied, satisfied, or very satisfied?
Very satisfied.
Oh, good. That's what we should do, is we should, at the end of podcast, we can be like, please hold for a brief survey.
Like when you get through customs, when you're, they usually have a, when you go through, like in Heathrow, they have it.
Oh, the green button.
The green button, like they have the, how is
your, I always hit the red one. Security. No matter what, I'm just like, it could be better.
I'll tell you,
it could always be better.
Yeah.
In Iceland, I hit the green one. It was amazing. There was like no one there. They just took my passport from me, did not ask me a single question. They said hello, stamped it, sent me into the country. I was like, great. That was easy. Also, you know, if you're trying to get over somewhere, go to Iceland. They're going to not ask any questions.
Well, hopefully that doesn't change, you know.
I mean, yeah, it could. It's the security, international security could start getting way, way, way tighter.
Not to Iceland. No one cares.
We were going to go to, I think we decided we're going to go for our honeymoon. We're going to go to New Zealand. Feels like a fun.
All right, whatever. That's cool.
Neutral place to go.
Go to the do the Lord of the Rings tour. See where the hobbits live.
You would do that.
Yeah. Of course, I would go to the Shire. Who wouldn't go to the Shire except for you, Matt? Because you don't like Lord of the Rings.
Don't give a shit.
No,
like them.
Not into swords or magic.
You should go to Australia. It's better.
I've been. It's great, but I've never been to New Zealand.
All right. Fair enough. How about Easter Island?
I've always wanted to go to Easter Island. Have you been?
No. Did you see that book about, it came out a little while ago, about strange islands that you've never heard of? It's a book this woman put together of all the, like all these obscure islands that nobody's ever heard of, but they really exist. What's that book called? It's blue. It's got a blue cover.
Origin of the Species?
No. It's a really
like,
good book.
This
somebody
sounds
got,
like a remainder that should be pyramided.
No, it's not. It was like a bestseller. It wasn't a remainder.
What do you, Kyle? What do you?
10 strange islands in the world. Now go to Amazon and search in books. Don't just Google it because you're going to get all sorts of bullshit blog posts.
Strange Tale of Panorama Island.
Nope, that's not it either.
Maybe it's more like.
Less
50 less strange islands.
That just sounds like a BuzzFeed list.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
I'll find out and get back.
What if you're reading a book about salad dressing and it was just called Thousand Island?
My hope is that in a month my phone's gonna ring and I'm not gonna recognize the number and it's gonna be Michael Shannon going, it's 50 islands.
50 islands you've never heard.
And then
of.
He just hangs up.
Yeah.
Nothing? Nobody yet?
Not a remainder.
It's really
it's
amazing.
Seller.
There's just three people trying to look it up right now.
I feel like I should give it a go.
No, then we're just, this is just, then we're all
matter.
Just going to be staring at our phones.
Remote I'd have to see the cover. Yeah, that's it.
The Atlas of Remote Islands, 50 islands I have not visited and never will.
I told you 50 islands was the
that is the exact opposite sentiment of what you were saying before.
The color temperature on your monitor is disturbing.
This author.
That's a great book.
This author has in the thesis statement, has said she is refusing to go to these islands.
Yeah, a little bit, thank you.
By Judith Shalansky. Judith Shalansky.
That's how I want to end this, by promoting Atlas of Remote Island.
All right.
Because someday I'm going to make the film version and star in it. It would be like Castaway 50 times in a row. 50 short films.
You just befriend different sports balls.
Yeah, exactly.
And different. Oh, you get a ping pong ball and a wiffle ball. And
why are these all named Wilson?
Yeah.
A badminton.
There's a pocket version?
As you don't travel to those islands.
Yeah. Nice.
Would you sign off our podcast for us?
How do I do that?
You just say, enjoy your burrito. That's how we end the podcast.
Okay. Enjoy your burrito.
The end.
Nice. Thank you.
Michael Shannon, thank you.
Guys, turns out...
Here's a Nerdist podcast addendum, an exclusive just for you. The legal person who enjoys suing people and also happens to work at Procter & Gamble. This just in.
Don't sue us. We were wrong.
Our man Matt Myra's out on the street.
I'm here with Michael Shannon. Michael, how do you feel about Procter & Gamble not being Satanist?
I'm so glad to hear it. It's a huge relief to me. I use and adore all their products. So it's a real... it was causing me some sleep deprivation, but now I can sleep through the night unconcerned.
Thank you, Michael Shannon. Back to you, Chris.
Eye on the World takes you all around the globe to find a hard-hitting legal stories and podcasting that you deserve. Take that, Mr. Hitler. I just feel like all those film reels are always like, take that, Mr. Hitler.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Gen Z high school girls have gone through a lot. So what could and did send a shockwave through a group of 50 of them competing in one of the nation's biggest scholarship competitions? I'm your host, Shima Oliai, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the Distinguished Young Women Competition. I was Nevada's competitor 20 years ago, but this time, a Supreme Court decision catapults all 50 girls into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. These girls, who have spent months fighting to make it to nationals, are faced with a tough decision. Do they speak up for their political beliefs, or do they stay focused on winning the money?
I think it's going to get ugly.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.